sponsorship investment very cost-effective? Or should I say, coast-effective? Talk to the Coast FM sponsorship team. Email sponsorship at coastfm.com.au.
Hi, Malcolm Blight here for our sponsor, Knowles Caravans. And you're listening to Friday Coast Magazine with Brenton and Shiona on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.
Welcome back to us, and thank you for all the calls that we've had congratulating us on the 200th show. I just want to remind people that Brenton's been around a lot longer than that. I think he's well into the 2,000 shows over the years, so this is just our latest, I guess, 200th at Friday Coast Magazine. I want to have someone really exciting to interview today on our 200th show. It's very important that we keep our listeners well abreast of everything. And we have been having a series of talks over the last couple of months with a very interesting lady, Miss J.L. Keys. And we've been talking about eating disorders, why they happen, how you can recognise them. And we're going to continue today. We missed last month because we were sick, and we're sorry about that, but we will catch up today. How are you, JL?
I'm very well. Thank you, Shiona, and it's good that you're back on track as well.
It is. Well, it is good. We've all have these stumbles in life, including
That's
yourself,
right.
don't you?
It's just a part of the process.
It is part of the process. Now, we started working through our notes a couple of months ago, and we got up to talking about eating disorders, how you can recognise them, and we're going to take up from there. And one of the things that is very important is the warning signs and the physical damage that can happen, not just to the person, but the whole family, can't it?
Yes, that's right. I mean, physical damage is what I wanted to focus on to start our discussion this morning, because I think it's really important to make people aware that eating disorders can have a deadly end, if I can say it that way, if it's not rectified or taken care of pretty promptly. And the range of physical damage, if it doesn't result in death, it can also result in permanent damage. And I'd just like to outline a few of those, I guess, to motivate people who are in this space to say, hey, heck, I really need to do something about this, because I don't want to end up in one of these spaces where unnecessarily I now have, you know, a permanent damage that I need to work with ongoingly. So to the brain, because there's such a preoccupation with food and with calories and fear, there's a lot of headaches, there can be fainting and dizziness and a lot of mood swings, because you're pushing that poor brain around and changing the neurological pathways, if you like. And so you're going to suffer as a result of the changes that you're creating. Your hair and skin, of course, suffers. Your skin can become very dry and your nails can become very brittle. When you're thin, your hair can actually thin out as well, and that's not so easy to replace once it's happened. Your heart and your blood. I remember when I was anorexic for 9 years, my hands and my feet were always very, very cold. So particularly in the winter time, you know, with poor circulation, irregular heartbeats, and I still have low blood pressure. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, or if that's still relating back to having an eating disorder. But I think it's really important for us to be really, really aware that eating disorders may have an ongoing impact. Your intestinal area, of course, can suffer, and I know I had to do a lot of work to repair my intestinal tract. So hormones, of course, become very irregulated and all over the place. So particularly for the female generation, you know, that can mean the loss of periods and the inability to conceive a child, so, or even infertility in the end. And your kidneys can suffer as well. And your bones and your muscles, and you might not notice it in your bones straight away, but the longer it goes on, osteoporosis later in life can be an outcome if we're not feeding ourselves properly, particularly through those changing and growing years of being a teenager. So just a few little dot points there to get us thinking about, is it worthwhile having an eating disorder, and is it more worthwhile to go and seek some help and bring ourselves through it so we can thrive again?
Mm. Yeah. Because these are all points that may not seem that important at the time because you get over them, but they come back later in life. And I think that's when you get to an older age, I won't say how old, But these things all tend to turn up again.
They can do. You know, we can repair to a certain point, but and it depends on your process. You know, for me, nutrition and repair through nutrition was really important. So, and I learnt the value of that and getting your body right back to optimum level of health and physical health again. But not a lot of us take that side so seriously. I guess as a home economics teacher, I was teaching it to my students, so I need it. And so I learnt the value of it through that. If I wasn't a home ec teacher, I don't know whether my physical recovery would have been as quick and as easy as it was. But certainly later on in life, if these things aren't addressed to the nth degree, I suppose, it can come back to remind you that this is what happened, you know, during that period of time in your life. So it is really, really important to acknowledge I've got an eating disorder. I've got to, you know, get rid of it really quickly if I can, because of the ongoing outcome for your entire life, really. Yes.
Because I guess to a teenage girl who may have this eating disorder, talking about your hair falling out or your nails or your heart probably don't strike home too much at the time, because it's a long way. You know, we all think that we're eternal.
That's right.
And when we're in our teens, we don't think about heart attacks and things like that. But once your heart gets damaged, it's very hard.
It is.
To revitalise that, isn't it?
And that's been the difficulty, if I just sidetrack for a moment, because you've made a really interesting and important point. You know, as a teacher of home economics and teaching nutrition, it's really hard to get through to the teenage population because they're bulletproof. And it doesn't matter what they eat, they're still healthy, they can still kick a soccer ball, they can still kick a football, they can still live. They don't realise that what they're doing now is setting them up for damage down the track.
10, 15 years.
And it's that time in life when it's almost too late and they say, oh gosh, I should have listened to Miss Keys when she was talking back there when I was 14 and 15.
Yeah.
So it is actually a hard sell, and it is a hard sell in the eating disorder, mental health arena as well. But I find it across the public, you know, I eat really, really well, and that's as a result of this, and it's really, really hard to get that message across for any health outcome, not just eating disorders.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, it's one of those things. So why do they occur? Why do these things occur?
Look, when I started to look at the why behind mine, I had no idea. You know, I wasn't guided in the right way. It wasn't until I met a lady who said to me, tell me your story. And the tears flowed as soon as she said those four words, so I knew that I was finally in the right rooms with the right person. And so I'm going to respond from my life experience and also other people, obviously, that I've connected with that are experiencing or have experienced eating disorders. And it's my strong belief that impactful life events, so trauma, my basic trauma was sexual abuse as a child. I was also raised with very, very strong and very, very narrow religious beliefs, but also family beliefs as well. So those strong messages regarding how life apparently works set the stage for me. And because it was all embedded in fear, then I had an enormous amount of fear that I was navigating with each day. So it wasn't surprising that at some stage my body went, hang on, you know, you're full of fear. And I do believe that the body speaks to us through illness as well, trying to give us a message that, hang on, there's somewhere in your life it's not going right for you and you need to get that sorted out. And for me, it was an eating disorder. And I wish I had met this lady, you know, when I was 15, but I didn't meet her until I was 37 to actually understand the why behind the eating disorder. So that's my strongest belief. I think fear, and that's where we need to look at people as individuals, because the actual fear that they're living with, of course, can vary from one individual to the next. So that's why we need to, in therapy, look at, tell me your story, and look at the life events and the messages that bring tears or bring fear or see you want to hide under the chair or whatever, because they're the important clues that will contribute to then designing solutions moving forward. Strong belief as well, any environments, if you're being raised where there's a lot of punishment, there's a lot of yelling, there's a lot of hitting, there's criticism and there's blaming, and what I call disconnecting behaviours in the relationships that you're growing up with in your family arena, that can have a mental illness, eating disorder outcome at some stage in your life as well. environments where perfection is being taught, and you feel like you've got to always achieve these high standards, and there's all this pressure and pressure and pressure to achieve high standards. And I guess if I look back at my story, that was a part of my story as well. Where conditional love is the basis for acceptance, I bang on about unconditional love, because I felt growing up that mine was very conditional. If you do this, you'll get that. If you do this, you'll do that. So my life wasn't my own. I felt I was very much out of control. And so here comes another word. So there's fear and then there's control. If you're not feeling like you're in control of your life, that you have to answer to everybody around you, and they're not listening to your needs and wants and what you want for your life, then that can spin you off down this path as well. The family culture, the belief system and value system of the family can have a damning effect, if you like. And then one that's really important to me is where a child presents as different. And what I mean by that, I'll qualify that, in sometimes parents have children and they have a particular idea of how that children's life will play out. And so they put themselves into and through that child. And they might want them to, you know, go down an academic pathway, whatever academia means, because through my children being performers, I learnt that academia was also very much in the performing world. You use your brain a lot to work out those dance steps and, you know, the music and the singing and the lyrics and all of those things. To me, it's very, very academic. And I highlight this one because of my two children, and they were a gift given to me when I was going through this healing process, particularly my daughter, because she was very different in the sense that she was the dancer, she was the performer, she was very strong-willed. And I had an idea of how I wanted my daughter to be in public, how I wanted her to be when she went up the street. I didn't want her wearing odd socks, and, you know, because that would be a reflection on me and all of that sort of thing. But I needed to step back and let her be who she is. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, at 37, this lady came into my life right on the turning point of that, if you like. So as I began to change and step back, I began to accept the children that I had, that they were creative entities, they were going to go down a different pathway, and my job was to facilitate and support that. Mm. And I strongly believe that if I didn't, I don't know where my children would be today, but I certainly don't think they would want to know me.
No, and obviously they do. You've opened up, you know, I guess I'm one of those old school people that always assumed that people with eating disorders was something to do with image. You know, the typical teenage girl who'd put on a bit too much weight, say, let's stick our fingers down our throat or whatever. Mm. But it's not. It's so much more. And it's a whole, you know, when you look at all these things and you talk about, of course, media influence and the bullying. It's just so much. It's just not about image at all. It's a whole gamut, and you realise what a lot of these, and I guess I talk about teenagers, but I mean this can happen to any age, and it just makes us realise how vulnerable we are to outside pressure and to what people think we should be when it's not what we want to be.
That's exactly right, and I'm glad, Shiona, that you've brought that media influence into it, and bullying as well, because my focus has mainly been on, you know, the environment that we're growing up in and the environment we find ourselves in. But I'd also just, you know, some young people can go onto Instagram and TikTok and see everything that's being promoted there and not really be affected by it. They can just get up and walk away and continue to be themselves. Whereas other people go on there and they're highly impacted. And next thing, they're in strife in some way or another. An eating disorder might be one of those. I still believe it comes back to the messages that we're taught as to how life works. So if you've been brought up in an environment where your messages are impactful, they are fear-driven, and they are control-driven, then you're going to be more susceptible to media influence. Because if I look back at my journey, media influence, well, you know, at the age that I am, you know, I wasn't looking at women's magazines. We certainly didn't have the social platforms.
Of course we didn't.
But when I became exposed to sitting in a hairdresser's and looking at their magazines, I did find myself tuning in.
Yes.
And I did begin to connect and think, that's how I have to look to be accepted. That's, so the media had an influence. But
even
if I had been brought up in a different environment and without sexual abuse and all of that, I might have just looked at that magazine picture as, wow, that's a lovely dress. I wonder where I can get it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being pulled into feeling really like I had to change myself.
It is.
And you raised the other word is bullying. Now, bullying is a huge societal problem, and of course, being involved in schools, you see that all the time. And we've had one recently, I think it was Mount Barker, just yesterday I heard on the news of a terrible bullying outcome for a group of, a family of girls, I think it was, and that was really disturbing. So bullying certainly has an impact on the emotional and the mental development. So again, if you haven't got a strong sense of self and self-worth, and you don't feel you've got parents or adults to turn to that are going to support you, you can end up lost and end up going down these other pathways as well. And very quickly, the last one that I'll mention too and highlight is trauma. Obviously, I've shared this morning that there was trauma in my life as a child. And when traumas are embedded into us and they're not resolved, and the messages we receive during that trauma become our truth and our reality, then that's how we see the world. That's how we perceive it. That's how we filter it. That's how we relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's changing it. And then because that happened, you know, before the age of five, I think people just thought, oh, that's little Jenny Lee.
It's
that's
just,
who she
is.
It wasn't questioned. She was just a sensitive soul.
Yeah.
She was someone who looked over his shoulder. She was someone who wanted to be perfect or someone, you know, and it wasn't the case at all. I was being or developing into the person I felt I had to be to hide this secret that I carried. And so by the time I reached 15, I guess my body just collapsed in a heap and couldn't carry the weight of it any longer. And the eating disorder
and
developed as a way of coping with the secrets within.
It's a very sad and such a complex issue, and unfortunately we have to end it there for today. We will be having JL back, of course, but one of the things that I do want to point out today is JL has written three beautiful books. Not all about eating disorders. There's
canvasses. The first
books.
One, I guess, is because it's my private story, and then the inspiration, the ideas, the keys of wisdom that can be taken from that for the reader. And the middle one does reference other mental illnesses as well.
They are. They're beautiful books. And JL has given us a trio of these books to give away to one lucky listener. I'm hoping that it will be someone who perhaps feels they know someone in this category that needs the help, because that's the whole purpose of this. JL is also there. If you need the help, we've got her numbers here at the station. We can pass them out to you. But we would like one of our listeners to ring up. I'm just trying to think of a good time to ring up. Perhaps we've got a Beatles song coming up in a little moment. If you'd like to ring up while that Beatles song is on, and we will have these books here as a gift for one lucky listener. Thank you for your time today.
I know you're
off to a symposium.
I've got a global summit that I'm running off to. It's a busy day today,
busy
but it's
day,
an exciting
today,
day.
We've fitted
exciting
us in, and we
day.
Do appreciate that.
Yeah.
We will be having you back at the end of
June.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Halfway through the year, so thanks for that, JL.
Thank you so much, Fiona and Brenton, sitting quietly in the background here.
Yes, he is. So
I know my place.
When you hear the Beatles coming up with Savoy Truffle, give us a call and you can have these beautiful books, lovely reading, and I'm sure you'll benefit from them. So thank you for that. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Howdy, folks. Join me, Barry Culligan, every Friday night between 6 and 8 for the Boogie Shack, when I'll be spinning your favourite rockabilly tracks from around the world.